It's a video that just kind of highlights not just this last year, but the last 4 years. Intermixed images from different things, from not only just the people, but we have the service, we have the team that make it possible, the dream team, we have the missions teams that were on there, we had some pictures from Thanksgiving, we had just a lot, our kids ministry, our Fika time, our outside of church hangouts. So there's just so much that makes up Stockholm Community Church. We are not just on a Sunday. But Stockholm Community Church began over 4 years ago. When Brian and Carolyn Dunn asked Angela and I and Patrick and Christina and said, hey, let's start a church together. And we said emphatically, yes, let's do it. We began praying and praying and praying and eating and praying and eating and eating and praying and praying and eating. And bringing people together, and like Rachel talked about, she came to one of those times. So if you want to throw up one of those pictures, the first picture, the small group picture, this is the first setup team of Stockholm Community Church. March 24, 2019, this was all the folks that set up the entire building. But then the next picture, 4 years later, we've grown to a large group. And in between, we've also had other things. Thanks, Elisa. She was bringing some coffee. Because I need more energy, right? Yeah. But God has done amazing things in and through Stockholm Community Church. God has brought amazing people to Stockholm Community Church. Some of those amazing people have gone other places. And that's great. God bless them. God, we release people when they leave here. We don't just kick them out or cry. Yes, we do cry when they leave, but we also bless them. Because when they leave Stockholm Community Church, they're taking part of us with them to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever God has called them to be. But over four years ago, it was all about trusting what Jesus said to us. Trusting in him that what he spoke to Brian and Carolyn and Angela and I and Patrick and Christina was and rang true, that God wanted to do something different in Stockholm through Stockholm Community Church. So we began to trust. What does trust mean? Well, there's the noun for trust. It is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. And then the verb, believe in the reliability, truth, or ability of. Some similar words, confidence, belief, and faith. So you could essentially almost say having a faith in Jesus is a trust in Jesus. That he is who he said he is. That he will not leave us even though we feel far away from him. And for us, when we planted this church, we had to trust, we had to have faith that God really was speaking to us, that he really wanted this church to take place. Then we also had to trust and believe that people were actually going to show up beyond just the first Sunday. Because a lot of us that came, we had other people. I mean, I think we had like 10 people that showed up on that first Sunday that are our friends and family. Did they show up the next Sunday? No. So it's that first Sunday you have like 100 people. It's the next Sunday. That's when it really begins, when the people that are going to start calling the church. We had to trust that more people were going to show up week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5. We had to trust that through the pandemic, God would carry us through that. I mean, all of Sweden experienced the quote-unquote shutdown from May to June. And then the government said, okay, y'all can start doing these things. Churches could start meeting with 1 square meter per person. Well, unfortunately for us, renting all of Ikskaturhus, they are a different categorization than a church, so they only had 10 square meters for one person. This is 200. How many people could we have? 20. That was our entire dream team. That was the entire setup team at that time. So it just didn't work for us. The pandemic kept going and going and going. And then last January, we said, hey, we got to just start meeting weekly, but we just don't have enough. So we're going to go service small community group, service community group. But then as we went through that spring, got into the summer, it's like people really want to meet. Lord, we don't have enough people to set this up every week, but we're going to trust you to bring the people. And so August 14, we said, hey, we're kicking this off. We're going to go full gear again. And as a result, many of you are here because we just jumped in and said, we're going full gear. And many of you have joined the team. You are the people that we were trusting God for. You were the people that we were trusting God for and believing would come. See, trust often is a very relational thing. It's also, there's an authority, and there's also a blind faith, a blind trust. Relational, let's look at the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were great friends of Jesus. Really good friends. And in their story, Jesus was away doing his ministry and his things. And all of a sudden, for some reason, Lazarus, the brother, so they're brothers and sisters, Lazarus died. But he got sick. And so Mary and Martha sent word, go tell Jesus his friend Lazarus is sick. So the word, the messengers got to Jesus and said, Jesus, bro, your best friend, your BFF, he's sick. We need you to come. And Jesus said, okay, give me 2 days. What? I mean, if I got the call that my parents were sick in the hospital, I'd probably get on an airplane and go, right? Figure out the finances later. But Jesus said, no, 2 more days. He just did his ministry thing. He did his thing for 2 more days. When Jesus finally, on the way to the city where Lazarus was, they sent word out to Jesus. Jesus, Lazarus, you don't need to come anymore. Lazarus is already dead. Jesus said, no, I'm going to go. And when Jesus got to Mary and Martha, it says this in John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. This, besides Jesus weeping over the city and crying in agony because he knew he was going to the cross, this is one of the only instances where Jesus cried over someone, one person. Mary and Martha were also distraught. You read in John chapter 11, you read how they were crying and sad and heartbroken because their brother had passed away, and the one that they wanted to come, their Savior, their Messiah, didn't show up. Instead, he delayed for 2 days. The folks said, hey, Jesus, you don't need to come. Jesus instead walked over to the grave and said, hey guys, let's get this stone out of the way. What? You want to remove the stone? But don't you know, Jesus, he's been dead for 2 days. And what happens when something's dead for 2 days, stuck inside an enclosed space? The smell is going to come out. And Jesus said, roll the stone away. It reminds me of the song from when I was a teenager, from this gentleman called Carmen, named Carmen. Anybody familiar with the song Lazarus? One of these, I just want to belt that out right now. He's got this song where he's like, Lazarus, and this part of the song, like Lazarus is talking with you know, the other folks that are in heaven, and he just hears, Lazarus. It's like, what, dog? Lazarus, come forth. But Jesus just spoke into that space and said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. These ladies were trusting that Jesus would respond to their ask. Jesus, please come. We know you can heal him. We know who you are and what you can do. Please come, Jesus. Yet Jesus didn't come. So in that moment when their brother passed away, I'm sure they just kind of gave up some of their hope, gave up some of that trust that Jesus cared that great for them. But yet Jesus still came in his timing. Folks, we as a church have to trust in God's timing. When we planted this church and we were getting through the pandemic, we're like, okay, let's get going. But we couldn't. We had to trust God's timing for everything to start. for us to come back together again, because it was up to him. We had our plans, we had our hopes, we had our desires, we had all these things ready to go. We have to trust Jesus. Because even if Jesus is 2 days late, he's really not 2 days late. He's right on time. Come on, church. Even if we feel Jesus is late, is he late? No, he is on Jesus' time. He's on God's time. And we have to trust in that relationship. So trust is very relational. But trust is also, there's an authority in trust. We have the story of the faith of the centurion is up here in Matthew chapter 8 is where we find this. I put up just the three verses out of that story. Matthew 8, 10, and 13 says this. The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." So Jesus, a Jew from Nazareth, was in the territory of Israel that was under Roman occupation. So this gentleman, the centurion, was a Roman soldier that had authority over these folks. And did they really like each other? No, they did not like each other at all. Yet this centurion had heard the stories of who Jesus was and had a faith, had a trust in Jesus, where he said, "But I don't deserve you to have come to my roof, to my house, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Jesus had already been traveling and speaking and teaching to the Jews, to his people. And yet he has the audacity to say, "I haven't found anybody amongst you, my brothers and sisters, that have this amount of trust that this Roman, the swine that you hate so much, he has not even hung out with me, but he has only heard the stories of who I am. He has such greater trust in myself than you that have been hanging out with me." Verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. See, there's a trust in authority. This individual understood, okay, just like I command my armies and I tell them, I give an order and they go do it. I trust, I know, because I have the authority over them, they will do as I said. This gentleman realized the authority that Jesus carried in who he was and trusted in that authority. Church, when Jesus speaks to us, when Jesus gives us hopes, dreams, visions, desires for our life, when he says share or talk to your coworker, we must trust in what he says. Why? Because his authority comes from God the Father. And we can see from history, from even our own lives, that when we follow what Jesus says, does it come out like Jesus wants? Yes. Can we trust the words of Jesus when he says, "Your servant is healed"? Can we trust that? When Jesus said, "Don't worry, I got you covered. Give, and it will be given back to you." Can we trust what Jesus said? Yeah. As Angela shared, when Jesus says, "My church will be built on this foundation," can we trust that the church is being built? Yes, because it is. You are all part of that. So the trust, we can trust the authority of who Jesus is and what he has already established as a pattern and a history. His word is enough for us. That's what the centurion said. "Jesus, your word, just the word is enough for me because I know how this works. You have the authority. Just like I have authority over men, you have authority over everything. Say the word." How many of you are longing for Jesus to just speak the word over your life? We sang that song today, I speak Jesus. Guess what, church? That's the word. I speak Jesus in my life over every situation, over every enemy. I speak Jesus. Jesus on the mountain, Jesus in the valley, Jesus over every enemy. I speak Jesus. Come on, church, let's just pause for a moment. Say it with me. Say Jesus. Come on, say Jesus. 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 Jesus, we speak your name over every problem that we are facing. We speak your name over every situation that we are dealing with. We speak your name over every anxiety, fear, and panic, and depression that is standing up against us. We speak your name. And we believe, and we believe in your authority, just as the centurion. When we say your name, Jesus, every knee shall bow, every demon shall flee, because you are supreme. You are greater than every problem we have. You are greater than every fear we can muster up. You are greater than all things. So Jesus, we speak you over our problems. We speak you into our relationships. We speak you over our mental health. You, Jesus. You, Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus, healing should fall on our bodies. In the name of Jesus, rheumatism shall flee the body. In the name of Jesus, disease shall flee. In the name of Jesus, the cold shall leave. In the name of Jesus, the business plan will come that will bring salvation to our finances. In the name of Jesus, our neighbor shall be saved. In the name of Jesus, our spouse shall come to know you. In the name of Jesus, our kids will return back to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, speak your word over our lives, that breakthrough would take place. Breakthrough would take place because of you, Jesus. Because of you, Jesus. Because of you, Jesus. Then there's the people that just have the blind faith, blind trust in who Jesus is. There's the story in Mark chapter 5 of the woman that had this bleeding issue. Give a little context. Women, that if you were sick, you had to leave the area. If you had issue with blood, so let's get a little real. Whenever the ladies had their monthly time, they had to leave the camp. They had to leave the city establishment until they were cleansed, until it was all done and taken care of. And then they could come back into the city and be a part of the society again. So imagine this lady. She had this issue where she was just bleeding for years and years. She had this disease that no one could fix. And so this created an isolation for her. Imagine the loneliness, the fear, the anxiety that she faced, having to stay away from all the people she knew or loved or cared about. She couldn't be around anybody except the rest that were sick. Yet she heard about this man, Jesus, that was in her city, walking through, and she goes, oh, man, I've heard the stories. Could it really be true? I haven't seen this man. I haven't seen him do anything, but I've heard these stories. If only I could just reach out and touch him. So Mark 5:27 says this, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. Now, the crazy thing is, Jesus was already being touched by many people because he was in a crowd. It's like Jesus was on the Tune the Ball Net at 5 p.m. when everybody in Stockholm decides we're getting on the Tune the Ball Net together at the exact same time. And it doesn't matter if there's only 10 centimeters of standing space. I am shoving my way in. We've all experienced that at one time or another, right? So Jesus was in the middle of that. When you're in the middle of that, is someone touching you? Yes. Whether we like it or not, people are touching us. We have no personal space at that moment. So people are touching Jesus left and right as Jesus is trying to walk through this crowded space. And yet this lady's touch was different. Because if I just touch his clothes. Now these folks wore robes, so it was just kind of, you know, it's probably not like the wedding dress where it goes back 4 or 5 meters, but it's just kind of hanging down. So she crawled through this crowd of people, which if she was busted, she would have been stoned and killed. Because she was she had this issue and disease, and they thought it was going to spread to everybody else. So it's like you had COVID sneaking through a crowded subway. She just thought, if I can just touch him, just his clothes, I don't have to touch his sandals, I don't have to touch his skin, I don't have to have him look at me. If I can just touch him as he goes by, I can be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and Jesus said, hey, wait, someone just touched me. And the disciples were like, yeah, dud. Yeah, Jesus, there's all kinds of people touching you right now. And she's like, no, this was different. This was different. Church, we can be surrounded by the crowd. But when we say, Jesus, if I can just touch your coat, can be changed. Do you trust the stories you've heard? Do you trust what his word says? That if you just touch part of him, you'll get the miracle you need. Do you trust that? You don't have to have Jesus' full attention. Much like we have with our little kids, they're like, daddy, 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 until it's like, yes. Sometimes we don't always go, yes. Sometimes, yes. Jesus never responds that way, does he? It's like, oh, they touched my coat. Somebody wants something different than the people that are around me. We've had to trust that even though everyone around us is saying, no, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, we've had to trust. Okay, Jesus said, I know what Jesus can do if we can just touch, just have a little bit of Jesus. Just a little bit of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and, I mean, this isn't one of those, you all need Jesus, but we all need Jesus. I want to just challenge you today. Maybe you've not put your trust in Jesus. You haven't put that faith in him. Or maybe you have at one point, but you've kind of just let go of it for whatever reason. Jesus wants you to know you can trust him. You can trust him. Even if he's 2 days late, you can trust him. He doesn't have to show up to where you need him to be because he can just say the word and you can trust him. He can be surrounded and doing great things for so many other people, but if you just touch the hem of his garment, the edge of his pants, he'll give you the miracle you've been longing for and needing if you just trust him. Today, Jesus is saying, trust me. Just like we at Stockholm Community Church have had to trust, and we still trust Jesus. mean, our finances right now are just going to pay for the rent and all the other things that we do. Myself and Christiana, we're not getting paid a full-time salary from the church. But we're trusting that the day will come when God brings that. But for today, our hand is on the plow and we're doing the work that God called us to do. But for you, you need to take that first step and say, all right, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with my life today. I may not understand you fully. I may not know you all that well. But when you start trusting Jesus and giving your life to him, a relationship is built. Right? Just like boys and girls, and when people begin that mutual love relationship, it's not just, it takes time to build the deep founding love for each other. The lifelong committed love for one another. It takes time. God is God. He can do things miraculously and instantaneously, but you have to also stay committed to a relationship. That's what this is. It's relationship, not religion. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday. It's a trusting him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 66 days a year, which depending on if it's the fourth year or not. It's a daily, moment-by-moment relationship. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't started a relationship with Jesus, now is your time. There's no need to wait. Because as the Bible says, no man is promised tomorrow. So why wait? Just like last Sunday, I just said, yes, I'm giving in to the sunny weather. Come on, sunshine. This week, I didn't pray for this. I'll tell you that. I did not pray for this. I told you honestly I would wait until December. Just like we're not promised here in Sweden that it's not going to snow tomorrow, even though it's July 5. We're not promised tomorrow. So put your faith and trust in Jesus today and let him show you what tomorrow may hold for you. Let him show you how much better today can be than what you ever hoped, dreamed, or imagined. For those of you that have that trust in Jesus, maybe today it's time to just let go a little bit more. Or let go a lot more. Let go. As my college professor would say, let go and let God. Let go and let God. He also said, there's only two things you need to know, God and try. With God, all things are possible, so just try your best because he's got it. Let go and let God. Trust him some more today. Can we do that, church? Can we trust Jesus a little bit more today? We can grow in our faith. We can grow in our trusting of who he is, letting it go and saying, all right, Jesus, I'm going to believe that you have my tomorrow taken care of because I'm focused on you today. And then let's together as a church, let's trust God for birthday number 5, birthday number 6, birthday number 27. Should the Lord tarry, birthday number 76. Let's trust God for the future. Say, all right, God, I'm trusting you for what you have ahead. So that means I'm going to be a part of what you have. Whether you have me here for 1 year or all 76, I trust you. Can we do that today? Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the privilege. Thank you for the honor of being a part of this church these last 4 years. God, thank you that you have shown yourself faithful time and time again. When we felt like maybe this is just the end. Now, you didn't say it was the end. You said it's only just the beginning. So God, we are trusting you for tomorrow. We're trusting you. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just speak now to people. Speak now to those that call Stockholm Community Church. God, where do you want them to trust you today? Where do you want them to trust you more today? God, I know you'll speak, so I'm just going to wait, God, for you to speak. morning, that might be trusting him in a relationship. So with everyone's eyes closed and head bowed, if that's you this morning, say, you know what? I need to trust Jesus by taking that first step to letting him be a part of my life. I want to begin that relationship. If that's you, please raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray that right now, Holy Spirit, as these individuals receive you into their life and begin to trust you today, Lord, I pray that you would just show them in a mighty way who you are, in a life-giving, comforting, peace-instilling, joy-exciting way. You would be all of those things to them, that they would hear your voice. As they read your words, they'd understand who you are and the love that you have for them. God, I pray that today you would also challenge all of us to trust you just a little bit more, to let go and let God. We're going to let go and let God. So thank you, Lord, that you have all things in your hands. Thank you that you have our tomorrow in your hands. As we walk in this relationship with you, God, we can't wait to see what you're going to do in our life and through our life. We love you, Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Martin Luther said, pray and let God worry. Pray and let God worry. You don't need to hang on to it. You don't need to hold it. You can trust him today. And you can trust him tomorrow. When you need that reminding, just give me a call. Send me a text message. I'll remind you. I'll help you out. Because if you ask for my help, then I'm going to ask for your help. Because yes, there are days that I need to be reminded. I was reminded by a gentleman in Germany this week on Thursday that I need to trust God a little bit more. He's brought me through so much already, so he can keep bringing me through. I mean, those disciples, I'm just preaching more, those disciples were in the midst of a storm. The boat was rocking up and down, going crazy. They thought they were going to die. And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. I mean, it sounds like Jesus and I at least have that in common. I can sleep through a lot of things. If you want to hear stories, ask my wife. She's got some stories about that. But Jesus is sleeping. And they wake him up and Jesus said, hey, storm, enough. And calm down. You may feel like you're in that storm right now. Jesus is there. Just like Mary and Martha were like, dude, Jesus, you're late. It's done already. Nah. She's like, no, just hang on. Just hang on. You may think I'm 2 days late, but I got something coming for you. Trust Jesus today, all right?